All right, gentlemen, the last thing we want to talk about today is all the philosophes that we talked about up until this point all dealt with social changes, challenging absolute monarchies, or trying to bring about changes in existing social orders, trying to bring about more rights to the people. What we're going to see and what the difference is going to be is we want to talk about a new group of people called physiocrats. Physiocrats. These were folks that were focused on economics. Dollar, dollar bills, y'all. Dollar, dollar bills. Money. Business. Okay? This is what they're going to be their craft. This is what they're going to talk about. And a couple of chapters ago in the rise of global interactions between Europe and the Americas and Asia, we saw the rise of mercantilism, right? Where these mother countries, England, France, Spain, Portugal, the Netherlands, were basically trying to dictate and control trade and everything like that in their colonies, right? We talked about that. Mercantilism was very structured economically. The mother country, whether it be France, England, Spain, Portugal, whatever it may be, basically was trying to use the colonies to maximize their profits. The colonies, there was no free market per se. There was no ability to make money on your own. Whatever the mother country said that you had to do economically, the colonies had to basically follow. Physiocrats are going to start to challenge this idea. Have you guys ever heard of the term free market? How many of you have ever heard of the term free market when it comes to economics? How many of you think that means you can just go to some produce store and just take an apple and walk away? No. Good, AR does. Good, Darren does. Free market isn't like that, right? When you hear the term free market economy, it means that, hey, if something's popular, people should be able to pay for it, right? And produce as much as they want and try to spend as much as they want. No government interference, correct? You've heard of that a little bit? Brewer, you ever heard of that? Maybe a little bit? So they're going to reject mercantilism, and they're going to talk about the rise of what they're going to call laissez-faire economics. Laissez-faire economics, but that is a hard and crazy word, isn't it? Here's what I want you to think about. In a mercantilism economy, the government has a very much hands-on approach trying to control interactions in the colony and everything else. In a laissez-faire approach, the government is lazy. The government is lazy. Pretty cool, huh? Capella, what does it mean if you're lazy? And sluggish. You're sluggish. Do you do a whole lot? No, you sit around, eat Cheetos, and play Fortnite. Well, you might play Fortnite, but that takes effort, right? No. Right? Little dance?
Little dance, yeah.
Little dance for Fortnite. But here's the deal. They're going to bring up this idea called laissez-faire economics. Under laissez-faire, put government is lazy. In your notes, put government is lazy. Government does not interfere. Instead, it's all about supply and demand, gentlemen. What is the hottest game out there that you have to buy on your iPad right now?
Flappy Golf.
Flappy Golf. How much is Flappy Golf?
Zero.
No, I want to know what is the biggest paid game out there. Yes?
Minecraft.
Is anyone forcing you to buy Minecraft?
No.
No one is forcing you to buy Minecraft. But lots of people buy it, correct?
Yeah.
And then there's in-app purchases. The people who create Minecraft, making some dough? Then they've got all that crap around it too, all the shirts and every other stupid thing associated with it, correct? Huh? It is Minecraft, good. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. Did anyone force you to buy? How many of you guys have Minecraft on your iPad? Raise your hand. How many of you have played Minecraft at some point? The vast hey, real quick, fellas. The vast majority of you have played Minecraft. Anyone forced to play Minecraft? No, none of you raised your hand. But at some point, someone had to pay for it. Supply and demand. Eventually, Minecraft's going to be dumb and boring and not cool anymore. It's going to go away. Kind of like Flappy Golf. Right. But here's the deal, gentlemen. Hey, pay attention. Pay attention. Get it back. You think about whatever's cool right now. Whatever car is popular. It's all about capitalism, supply and demand. Because there's a lot of other things that compete with Minecraft. All right? Am I right? There's a lot of other games. But yet, Minecraft's up on top. But there's some games that are failing. There's some games that no one wants to download. Whatever it may be. But that aren't making any money. It's all supply and demand. The demand, consumers want to buy a whole bunch of stuff. They want to buy the iPad apps. So they're able to supply that to make that work. Great example. Last year at Christmas time, they brought out the Nintendo 2. Okay? Alright? Super Nintendo. They bought out the old new Super Nintendo that I had in middle school, right? So I wanted to go get one. Target was sold out at 9:30 in the morning. Really? Supply was that high. Demand was that high. Everyone wanted one, but supply was limited. There was a bunch of Sega games and all that crap in there. But no one wants to do that anymore. What?
So, if you have more demand than supply, can prices...
Prices will go up. Prices will go up. And here's the cat. Here's the thing I want to tell you about. Who got this all together? Adam Smith is going to be the main physiocrat. He's going to write a book called The Wealth of Nations. And this whole supply and demand thing. He's going to talk about. So if we use the Super Nintendo from last year, okay? Nintendo knew that it was going to be popular. You had a bunch of hipsters like my age. 30 to 40 year olds who still live in their basements with their parents. I don't live in my parents' basement anymore. I promise. Shut up, Truxel. I don't do it. But here's the deal. They knew that all these hipsters wanted to go and buy it, but they also knew that you kids are like, oh, that's awesome. It's old school. It's retro. Would want to buy it. So they only gave us a limited supply. But they could jack the prices up. They could do whatever they wanted because that was demand. Now, it very well could have been that, you know what, people are like, that's stupid, that's dumb, the graphics are really lame on that, we don't want to do it. It happens. In capitalism, gentlemen, the government is not setting prices. The government is not setting quotas for production. Instead, gentlemen, it's all about supply and demand. This invisible hand, how much supply, how much demand, is what is moving the economy. How do we know how much to produce? Well, we're going to try to guess. And we're going to hope we're going to create something that's really cool and that a lot of people are going to want. Here's the problem. You could get very rich from capitalism. But you could also lose your business. You could lose your money because you have a crappy product. Chipotle is struggling right now, right? Because they can't seem to fix their stuff.
Teachers, please excuse this interruption. But at this time, would the seniors please report to the gym for today's liturgy? Please leave your book bag. Thank you.
Major tenets of Adam Smith's theory. Governments, save and invest your profits. Make more money. Do what you do and do it well. If you're going to produce awesome Super Nintendos, just produce Super Nintendos. Don't produce anything else. Don't screw it up. And then finally, the only role government has, stay out of the economy. Just make sure you create a safe and secure environment for everybody.